Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7.
Got to put my hands up in the air. Josh, there is a guy who has found a purse on the street and has gone, uh-oh, what do I do? Do I hand it into the police? What do I actually do? He's actually gone through the purse and has found the lady whose purse it is, found her address, and is like, oh, I'm just going to hand it into her. Gave it back to her, had $10,000 in it.
Holy crap.
Which is so much money to be carrying around, $10,000, especially if you lost that much money in your purse and stuff like that. So she's notably freaking out. And so he's handed it back, and usually, well, what I thought would happen, you hand something like that back and the lady's just like, oh, she's so overcome with, like, that's so nice of you, please have some money. What do you think would be a reasonable amount of money to give someone if you had $10,000 in your purse?
If you had $10,000 and you lost it, and then somebody brought it back to you with nothing gone out of that $10,000, yep. I know this is going to sound exorbitant, and when push comes to shove, whether I do this or not, I would want to believe I would do this. 9,000 is better than zero, and I believe I'd probably give the person a grand.
A grand?
I'd be like, you know what? You've been super honest here.
Yeah.
And I can, 9 is better than nothing, and here's $1,000 for your honesty.
Because while I'm not encouraging this behavior at all, and what this guy's done is absolutely amazing, like, he could have very easily just given it back to her and gone, oh, there was no money in it. When I found it, it was just completely gone.
And basically prove otherwise.
Exactly. There's no way to prove anything else. So he hasn't done that. He's handed it in. I would say 1,000 is great. Even 500 would be very, very good.
500 probably is more realistic. Yep. I think that's probably what most people would do.
She's given this kid $100.
Not on. That is terrible. That is stingy as the day is long.
If
that
you
is
were
going to
give the kid $100, you'd be better off just giving him nothing.
No, 100. I'd be less insulting. Yeah, less insulting.
It's like when you give someone a tip of a dollar. Like, I would much rather you just not give me anything than give me a dollar.
Just go, look, I'm going to give you a compliment. I've enjoyed the service, but I am stingy, so here's a compliment rather than a dollar. Because it's almost, that makes it seem like I didn't enjoy the service and this is all you're worth.
I'd rather just the compliment, because then I don't go like, oh, so you're just very tight. You could just be like, I've got no money. I would have given you a tip, but I've got no money, so sorry.
Is she...
I don't think she's old. I know.
That was my first question, because my great auntie, she gives me $5. Well, used to when I was a teenager, give me $5 for my birthday.
Yep.
And you see them going, that's not good enough. But also, she's on the pension, and that's a huge amount of money from when she was younger.
Of course, a huge amount.
So grateful for the thought, and I always would remember that. But if this lady with the 10 grand, if she's like 30,
I can't figure out how old
ridiculous.
She is.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. That is so stingy.
Even now, like, if you're carrying around $10,000 in your purse, you clearly have a bit of money. Carrying around her life savings.
If that's it. You could also be very paranoid.
Yeah,
just very distrusting of banks, and that was everything you had. And so $100, maybe that would be okay on a scale of it's everything you had. Either way, teenagers are up to all sorts of things these days. They get a bad rap, and this is a story of a teenager doing a great thing, handing back money when it was just sitting there. And this has not been a reward that I think is fitting. Shame on this lady.
Shame on this lady.
Actually, 100. Well, maybe not shame. She didn't have to give him anything. $100 is still pretty nice. But a grand would have been...
That would have been great.
That would have been where I was sitting. No.
This kid will never hand back anything in his life, I reckon.
It's so easy for me to be on this high horse when I'm not actually financially at stake. I probably would have given the kid $50. I am that stingy.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Ned.
Yeah.
What if I was to tell you that later today you could start a mission that would involve a run that goes for 140 kilometres, a swim that goes for 33 kilometres, and then a ride on a bike that goes for 292 kilometres? Would you be interested? Would you consider it? Would you think, oh, yeah, no, this could be something I could do with my time?
I'd be interested if I had until next September to complete it.
Oh, right.
No, just to complete it.
Just to complete
Not to prepare, because I honestly don't think I could prepare myself for that.
I would be straight up not interested, because I just know I could never do something like that. And the idea of taking that on boggles my mind.
Like,
it's absolutely amazing, which is why the next person we are about to catch up with on the show is so fascinating. Her name's Laura Marshall. She is a secondary teacher from here in Canberra. She is going to be taking on that exact feat I just described. It is the Enduroman Arch to Arc Challenge.
Yeah.
You can check her out at lauramarshalla2a.com for all the details. But we're lucky enough to have her on the phone really just to ask, Why do that?
How
and why? Yeah. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, that is fantastic to hear. Now, look, you are, the reason we're talking to you this morning is something I can't even comprehend is what you're going to be taking on with the Enduroman Arch-to-Arch Ultra Marathon, Ultra Endurance Triathlon. Can you explain to me what this is?
Yeah, so it's an ultra distance triathlon where you in Europe, so you run from Marble Arch in London to Dover, which is 140 km, and then you swim from Dover to Calais across the English Channel, which is 33 km, and then ride Calais to Paris to finish at the Arc de Triomphe, which is just under 300 km.
Look, Laura, Josh and I a couple of years ago thought it was a funny idea to ride 500 km on a tandem bike.
Mm.
And well, you know, thank you. It took us a week to do. You were planning to ride over half of that distance. How long do you think that's going to take you?
The whole thing, hopefully around 70 hours.
My God.
We complain. Oh. I cannot stress to you how much we complained and how much we put it off.
Like, you are amazing, Laura. Now, can I just quickly ask you why? Why are you doing this? Is the main reason? Because that's the first question I imagine a lot of people would have if you told them what exactly you were planning to do. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, I read about it in a book, and that was the start of it all. And then, I've been lucky in life with doing various events, and it's just the challenge has increased over time. And this time I'm doing it to raise awareness and funds for Beyond Blue.
Oh, fantastic.
That's
what
amazing.
A great cause.
Right?
Well, Laura, will you be the first solo Australian woman to actually complete this if you get it done?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's been 8 women, I think, altogether that have done it, but not an Australian one yet.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
You'd be one of, like, 9 women that have done it and the first Australian. That's incredible.
That is amazing.
So, quick question. What goes into training for something like this? Because obviously the triathlon, you've got very different things. You're running, swimming, and cycling. How do you prepare for all of these things? Do you have to give them all equal attention?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot of hours. So yeah, my biggest weakness probably is the swim. So I've been putting a lot of effort into that with a lot of pool sessions and then heading to the ocean as well to get used to the ocean swimming. So
it's just
putting in the time really and being persistent and consistent with it.
Well, Laura, you're ending up in France. Do you at least at the end of it get to spend a little bit of time in France?
Yeah, I think so. We'll have a few days at the end in Paris and eat a few croissants.
I was going to say croissants would be on my list at the end of this, definitely.
What a slap in the face it would be if the day you finished it, you were just on a plane straight out. Like, I've got to go home. I've just got to go home. I'm glad you get some time to relax afterwards.
I was going to say, if you didn't, we'd try and pay for it because you should absolutely you deserve some croissants.
Yeah.
You've got your full support of Canberra here, the full support of us as well. We are so very, very excited to see how it all goes. But thank you so much for giving us some time this morning, having a bit of a chat about it.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
But you know what? That's not even what's exciting about today. Psychic ability on display is, of course, what is the most exciting thing about today.
It's incredible.
$100 voucher up for grabs to Tats on Tats Off, tatsontatsoff.com, not your average tattoo studio.
What we're going to do right now is we're going to talk to people who have caught up on 131060 that have tattoos. They're going to tell us what their tattoos are. We're going to tell them exactly, using psychic ability, where the tattoos are.
100%, and one of them has the chance to win a $100 voucher to Tats on Tats Off. D's on the line from Conda. D, how are you?
Good, and yourself, boys?
Yeah, not too
Very
bad.
Well,
thank you,
D.
Now, D, can we please get a description of your tattoo?
So it's a vine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a climbing vine that has the flowers and initials of my family in there.
Oh, lovely.
Very nice,
all
D.
Right, then.
Well, you're getting a feeling.
I have an idea.
Okay, it's very exciting.
D, is this on sort of your upper arm?
No.
Upper as in like...
Feeling was incorrect. I was thinking like starting at sort of the forearm and going up to the shoulder.
Right, okay.
Because you said climbing vine.
Well, I was going to say like your forearm, but I don't want to say that. I've got another feeling. D, is this on your foot?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
It's incredible. I didn't even have the winner sound effect ready to go. I didn't think there was any way we were going to get that this morning. Oh, my goodness,
That's
D.
That's incredible, D.
Now, here's the question, because I often hear this from people. Do foot tattoos hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a lot of bones in your foot.
Yeah, a lot of, like, very tight skin. A
lot of things to hit on your foot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, then, thank you very much
very
for the call,
well done,
Dave. That is a correct this morning for the psychic ability.
Yeah.
Joe is on the line from Banks. How are you, Joe?
I'm well, fellas. How are you?
Not too bad.
Very well, thank you.
You've just won a $100 voucher to Tats on Tats Off.
Oh, that was easy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
TatsOnTatsOff.com, not your average tattoo studio. But, Joe, right now, time for you to tell us about your tattoo.
Okay, so I have a unicorn that's standing on a cliff.
Okay.
There is a waterfall. There is trees in the background. Some moss on the cliff. There's the sun. There's a bit of mist.
Wow. Very, very detailed
tattoo. You're painting a very detailed picture, Joe, and I like it. Ooh, have you got a feeling?
I do.
Okay. I also have a feeling.
Joe?
Yeah.
Is this tattoo on your back?
Yes.
Hey! Yeah, very well done, Joe. Very well. I mean, very well done to you as well, Josh.
Thank you, mate. I'm the one with the psychic ability, as are you this morning. That is two for two psychic abilities this morning.
I honestly think that's the first time that's ever happened.
Don't say that. It happens every week. What are you talking about?
You're awesome.
No. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. And on that note, that's the end of the segment. It's never returning.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Josh, remember last week when I was talking about that guy who proposed to his girlfriend because she was a bailiff in a court and he came in handcuffs and was like, I plead guilty to loving you. Mm. And she was like, oh my God, my partner's been arrested. Oh no, he's proposing to me. This is very, very nice.
It was lovely. It was a little unorthodox, but it was lovely.
It was a little unorthodox. Something quite similar has happened very recently with a guy proposing to his girlfriend who's a flight attendant mid-flight.
Oh.
Which is very nice. She said yes. It's very, I've seen the video. It's very, very nice. She gets a bit teary and everyone like applauds and stuff like that. She's been fired, the flight attendant. So like she's been fired because apparently it was like they caused extremely irresponsible and they caused like chaos in the plane while it was flying. And then so they're like, unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. So first of all, not her fault.
No.
If anything, it's the boyfriend's fault. If, I don't know, find the boyfriend or something if you really want to do something. But it's also not her fault at all. So I don't understand that at all. But I honestly think this one's better than the court one. So this lady's a flight attendant, all right? She's up in the plane. This is like during a flight this has happened. So they're taken off. The guy's like, all right, this is the time. I'm on a flight with my girlfriend. I'm going to do it. I'm going to propose to her. Here we go. Imagine if she had said no. You're in front of a captive audience.
That is incredibly embarrassing. That's almost more embarrassing than like stadium proposals where you see the person say no. Because at least then you're one in like 70,000 people.
And you can leave.
You are one of 150 and you can't go anywhere after you've been rejected.
Okay, I'm going to run you through potentially what this guy could have been like, okay? Get up out of seat 23D, okay? Mm-hmm. Walk up to the back where your girlfriend is. Hey, I want to marry you. You're the love of my life. She goes, don't feel the same. Sorry. No. Dead silence on the plane as you scuttle down to seat 23D and then you have to, potentially if you're sitting in, imagine if you were sitting in the middle, like you had a middle seat and then you had to go, sorry.
Over someone.
I have to, sorry, can I just get back in? And they're like, I'm so sorry about all of this. Can you imagine how awkward that be? That has taken so much courage from this dude and honestly, good on this girl for saying yes. I honestly think no one should be punished. As a matter of fact, they should be given the plane. That's how courage went into this whole thing because it could have gone so wrong.
It absolutely could have.
They deserve free flights for the rest of their life. But instead, this lady's been fired.
This is important. Anybody considering a proposal, and you hear these stories, and because I mean, who's to say the guy who proposed wasn't spurred on by the courtroom proposal?
Exactly.
You're getting more wacky with the themes, more wacky with the workplace proposals. Here, this is a cautionary tale. Because not only could this have gone in terribly bad in terms of embarrassment.
Yep.
But it also could have, it could cost you a potential love of your life, their job.
Exactly,
so maybe just simple it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Take some cues from maybe some movies, maybe The Bachelor or something. Get some tea lights. Just make it a little bit more simple because we're getting kind of hectic with proposals in the world right now.
Exactly. This is the level that we're at now. I don't want to think about where it's going to go to after this.
Ask a serious question.
Yes.
This sort of has nothing to do with proposals. It's more to do with like PR and stuff.
Yeah.
Do companies not realize that phones exist in 2018?
People
film stuff like, we're going to fire you because it's a breach of policy. Yeah, but a bunch of people filmed it happening and you guys are going to look like super, basically villains if you fire me.
We love each other. You're going to look like villains.
We as a massive, massive airline don't understand what in the internet is. So, we're still firing you.
So we're parting ways and we'll bid you adieu.
Weird decision. Was this American airline?
No, it wasn't. Oh,
what a weird decision to make.
It was very, very strange.
Okay, well, look, companies, phones exist. The internet exists. People will judge your decisions.
Don't fire people for no reason.
And human beings, tone down the proposals because they're getting a little bit crazy.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh, the best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
What is going on in the world of fruit at the moment? Because it is making news everywhere. I'm sure you've heard about it. I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook. There've been a few instances in Australia so far of needles being found in strawberries. There are lots of stores that are pulling strawberries in certain parts of the country where this has been discovered. Certain brands are saying, yep, no, well, we've seen that. We're now checking more thoroughly to make sure that's not happening.
Yep.
And I've got to say, because I even heard reports yesterday of a banana having a metal object in it that maybe was a lady playing a trick, and I don't even know. Look, the point here is, I don't know how this works. I don't know if this is a person doing this or needles are somehow involved in the production process.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they, I don't know, put holes in the little plastic packaging so they can breathe or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have no idea. Mm. But because the news is not saying, I'm left to draw my own conclusions here. And I'd imagine somebody is actually doing this.
Yeah.
Somebody is putting these objects inside the fruit to be a nuisance.
Well, it kind of seems like it's that way.
Mm.
What was in the banana was like a rod. So, like, I don't understand how that's accidentally gotten in there.
Yeah, I think maybe somebody is trying to do the world's lamest prank. Like, what is the
end? It's so dumb.
It is the end goal of this. You're angry at your employer or something like that, so you decide, oh, I'm going to get even with them. Here's how.
I feel like every good prank, at the end of it, you reveal what you've done and someone goes, oh, you idiot. Or like, oh, you got me. At the end of this, someone's just gone, cool, you're an absolute tosser. And now we've thrown away millions and millions of dollars of product.
Here's a little bit of a community service announcement from the Ned and Josh radio show. Obviously not speaking on behalf of Hit 104.7, but I'd imagine they'd be pretty much in lockstep behind us with this community service announcement.
I hope.
Hi, I'm Josh from Ned and Josh.
Hi, I'm Ned from Ned and Josh.
Stop putting metal crap in fruit.
Pretty simple.
That's the end. That's the end of the community service announcement.
Really full of... Yeah. Should have just been like the things that you don't need to say. There's just like a few things in the world that you really shouldn't have to say that aren't laws.
If this is a disgruntled employee trying to pull a prank to get at their employer...
Yep.
Let's, as two young guys who have pulled pranks before...
I love a prank.
Let's come up with a few more creative ideas than what they're currently doing. Because at the moment, worst case scenario is a nice old lady who doesn't watch the news, bakes a cake and ends up putting a metal rod into the cake.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a terrible scenario. So
this is a dumb prank. I, before, have been named the office prankster.
Yeah, by yourself, but that's fine. I'll allow you to go first. What's a prank that somebody who works in a fruit factory might be able to do instead of this?
Here's what you're going to do. Okay, so you know those paints that you can like paint onto cakes and stuff like that that are like edible paints?
Yeah, sure.
Get a tomato and just paint like a little bit of yellow on it so it looks like an apple.
Yeah.
Someone bites into it and it's a tomato and they go, oh no, I've eaten like the inside of a tomato, which is like boogery and weird and stuff like that. Damn it.
Funny. Good. No,
there you go.
Fine.
Doesn't hurt anyone. Someone went to eat an apple and they ate a tomato.
Jokes on them. My first prank would be dress up like a ninja and have a fruit ninja food fight in the factory with your fellow workers.
Lot of wasted product
100%,
in that prank.
But if the idea is to prank your employer, much better than putting rods into the food.
Very true. My second prank, get all of the seeded grapes and put them in unseeded bags.
Well, that can be dangerous. Some people get allergic to the seeds?
No, they're just like pips. They're not like... Right, someone bites into a grape. There's nothing that ruins my day more than biting into a grape and having seeds in it and going, damn it!
Honestly, don't know how I feel about that one. But my final one, and this is obviously the most passive-aggressive one, which means it should win as prank of the pranks if you work in a fruit shop and you're unhappy, would be... From the movie Shawshank Redemption, when Andy Dufresne locks himself in the office with the record playing, and he's got he plays music for all the prisoners in the prison.
Of course, lines their day.
Just go into the office wherever they keep the speakers in your particular fruit factory.
Yep,
and whack this on.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy.
You think that'll get a laugh?
Do not leave. Do not let anybody turn it off and just keep this on loop for hours.
Yeah, you'll get fired.
You will absolutely get fired. But if you're putting metal crap into the product, you deserve to get fired. Much better prank right there.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, They'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
We are taking calls on a very, very simple topic this morning. When have you been an absolute child? Like Ned,
yep.
whose mummy organised a time for him to go down and have a passport interview because you can't work out how to apply for a passport online.
It's so not my fault.
So you're not only, by the way, let's be clear, you not only have your mummy helping you, you're going to go to a post office and make this someone else's problem as well because they're going to have to give you the interview.
It's because I'm paying an absolute something ton of money to get my passport.
Oh, no, passports are a whole thing, dude. I totally agree with you on that.
Did you go
front.
In for a passport or did you do it all online?
No, I did it all online.
You know what's dumb? It's my mum's fault for
paying for it, though. Yeah. Wait a second. Sorry, what? It's your mum's fault for what?
It's my mum's fault that she decided to have me in Tasmania. Oh. She's from Sydney. Why couldn't she just have me in Sydney? Because the Tasmanian birth certificate doesn't make sense.
Okay.
It's the first time I've been mad about being from Tasmania. There's not enough numbers on my birth certificate. It doesn't make sense. So if anything, this is my parents' fault.
Alrighty, 131060 is the number to call this morning, Canberra. What we're looking for is, do you know someone whose parents still do things for them even though they're an adult? Is it you? That's very brave. You can ring up 131060. But I think what's more likely is we're going to get people who are basically dobbing someone else
dobbing
in.
Someone else
dobbing
in, which is
someone
fine.
Else in. We've got Kate on the line right now from Mawson. How are you, Kate?
I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad.
Very well,
now,
thank you, Kate.
Do you know somebody whose parents still do stuff for them or is it you?
It's my partner.
Okay. That is what I thought we were going to get, Kate.
What does his parents do for him, Kate?
They pay for everything for his car, so his rego, sometimes his petrol and all that.
Petrol's a step too far, I'd say.
Yeah.
And obviously petrol's probably the most expensive part of the whole thing nowadays.
My dad has a company petrol card, and sometimes, well, he's never actually done it for me, but I've heard, pray tell, that it sometimes gets used to fill up other people's cars, i.e. siblings' cars. Mm. And
not anymore.
When he came to visit in Canberra, I got out of my car with a very, like, lingering, so what's
going to... Is the offer there?
Wallet stayed firmly in his back pocket.
I'm imagining that if anyone from his company hears that, that'll be no longer a perk.
That's part of his salary package. No, that's all right. It, apparently.
Well, then that's just he just didn't want to give it to me.
He didn't want to give it to me. Yeah, so, Kate, I'm very aware that there are parents that can pay for petrol, and I'm envious of anybody that has one of them. That's amazing. Do you think it's ridiculous?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Do your bills ever get paid by his parents?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that would be. I honestly would feel weird about that. If my partner's parents were paying for my stuff, I'd be like,
you know what? I can pay my own way.
Oh, my parents will pay for me. Don't
Having
worry.
Said that, if there is petrol involved, do come at me. Francisco online from Jared Bomber. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Ralph.
Yeah, fantastic, great, mate. Yeah, not too bad. Now, what do you have somebody that does something for you?
That is correct.
Who is it?
My grandma buys my undies.
Okay, all right then.
Do you ask her to, or does she just do it, Francisco?
No, she just started doing it when I was a teenager because my mom was too cheap to do it, and she just kept doing it when I moved to Australia. She sends me undies every 6 months.
That's fantastic. So they're undies from overseas.
Yeah, and they're really, really, really fancy and cool. And my wife doesn't care because the less money I spend myself,
Amazing.
It's a win-win-win.
Honestly, this isn't what Ned's done. This is not laziness on your part. This is just a great deal. You're just getting a great deal here.
Francisco, there's actually like services you can pay for where they'll send you undies as like a monthly thing and you get a new pair of undies every month. You've gotten that for free, which is incredible because these usually cost like $20 or $30 a week.
I was going to say, not just that. I think by the sounds of it, mate, you're getting nicer undies. That is absolutely fantastic. Keep that going as long as you can. Yeah. Lynn's on the line right now from Ngunnawal. Lynn, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you, like Francisco, are you doing a brave confession that you still have a parent that does stuff for you?
I sure do. I am 40 years old and my mum still cooks for me, she cleans for me and folds all my washing into nice, neat little piles.
Oh, goodness.
Well done, Lynn.
I have a young daughter and she will have all of her notes that need signing lined up on the table with the sign here.
Oh, wow.
Seems to have a PA.
I was going to say, you have a personal assistant, Lynn. This is amazing. Amazing stuff. Yeah. Is it because the mum lives with you or?
She does live with me. Yeah. When I moved here, she moved to help me out and she helps me out every single day.
That's Look, great. See, this is less, once again, less of what Ned's doing, which is just laziness and more of a mum helping you out, which is fantastic for your mum.
That is great.
That is so lovely
this
of her,
is a nice
Lynn.
Story,
it's a lovely story. And what the takeaway from this is, Ned, stop taking advantage of the fact your parents are as nice as Lynn's parents, because Lynn's got legitimate reasons, kids, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have no reason why you can't look after yourself.
No.
Yes, you do not.
I will keep taking advantage of them.
You are the worst.
Until they tell me where to go, which will probably be after this.
If my parents are listening to this, which they're not because they're on another overseas holiday right now, stop doing stuff for me.
Kit 104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Josh, you keep saying that
the
universe...
Oh, my God, I just realized yesterday on the show I said Beth's coming up next. Beth's in America.
Beth is in America. She's in Disneyland.
I'm not paying attention to anything right now.
Beth's in Disneyland, like, right now.
Right now she's in Disneyland.
She posted a minute ago saying, I'm in Disneyland. Yeah. I'm like, cool, whatever.
You're just so jealous. And I'm so jealous as well. Look, got sidetracked, but there's not much I want to say about this apart from the fact that yesterday I ate takeaway twice in a day and then made this like little proclamation of myself in my own head that I wasn't going to have takeaway for a while. I'm like, no takeaway for a while.
Fair enough. Me too, actually. I had like soup three times yesterday because I was sick.
McDonald's are handing out 200,000 cheeseburgers today. Today's free cheeseburger day.
Yeah.
So you download the app, you get a bunch of... There's things you have to do, but once you've done that, you can
get a free cheeseburger. You're
one of the first 200,000 in Australia, you get a free cheeseburger.
And honestly, because you're up so early, you've got a pretty good chance of doing
I've got a great chance. I'll leave right after this and go get a cheeseburger. Yep. The problem is, I literally said to myself, no more takeaway for a little while. And then
Macca's was like, we're handing out free food.
It was a news story this morning.
Yep.
It didn't even have to be advertised to me. It was a news story.
It's almost silly if you don't get this.
And I saw that.
It's free food.
Adorable little bun, a little bit of cheese poking out the side. And I went, you know what? That will be happening later today. Indeed.
The fact that you think the cheeseburger's adorable is a bit of the problem. That you think the food is like cute and stuff like that. That's probably part of the problem.
My comfort food, mate. Essentially, the food is my family at this point.
This is all a part of the problem. People smarter than I will hear this and go, wonder.
You know what's a part of the problem? Cheeseburger day. I don't think that should be a thing, but I'm glad it is. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
That is the end of this morning's show. We are going to be back tomorrow from 6 a.m. You have a fantastic Tuesday, Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, all the music's on the way. We got stuff from DJ Khaled, Panic at the Disco, also Benny Blanco. It's all up before 10 a.m. as you go through your hits and old school workday. Speak to you tomorrow from 6. Bye-bye.
Hit 104.7, Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.